Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. On this week's episode, is it ever too late for a sequel to succeed? We look at Top Gun's Maverick and Avatar The Way of Water. Also, a look back at Boston's new wave music scene of the 80s, thanks to a new documentary that's out, a review on a horror film, and of course, casting calls and what we're watching. For The Hub on Hollywood, I'm James.
I'm Jamie. It's going to be wavy. Come on, join us.
All right. All right, Jamie.
Hi. Sorry, I'm weird, James. But that's what you get when you come to The Hub on Hollywood. It's, you know, it's spicy.
And that's what you expect from The Hub on Hollywood. A little bit of spice, a little bit of weird, mix it all together. You get Jamie and James. But thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of The Hub on Hollywood. Remember, if you're watching us on YouTube, give us a like, give us a subscribe, comment down below, join the conversation, let us know what we should be talking about and reviewing. Also, if you're listening to us on any of the major podcasting streaming services, you rock. You can listen to us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We are there, and they can find us on the social medias, right?
Absolutely. You can find us on Insta. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. We're everywhere you want to be, honestly.
On the book face, on the gram talk. We're all over the place.
Yeah, all of on the gram talk. I like that. speaking of, we had a lot of people who reached out to us, James, with your last episode and your incredible interview with the actress. Remind me of her name.
Yeah, Maheta Ife. She's a local Boston actress. Yeah, originally from Brockton.
So it was such an incredible interview, and a lot of people really liked it, and they're so excited to see her being successful and up and coming. So we wish her the best of luck, and we're so happy to have folks interacting with us, and that's what we want to give you. We want to give you more of that. So we've got a great interview up ahead also today, right?
Absolutely. We're going to be talking to Cole Sheeran. He is a local Massachusetts guy who made this awesome documentary looking at the 80s music scene. And so Boston is known for having so many instrumental artists break out from here. Those that, you know, got big, those who stayed local, but still very big and very much on the radar. So we take a look, a little flashback in time with his documentary. But first, let me ask you, this isn't a documentary, but it's a long time coming. Feels like it should be its own documentary, but we are getting the sequels finally to Top Gun, Maverick, and Avatar The Way of Water. Now, it's been 36 years since Top Gun was the number one film in theaters, and it's been 13 years since Avatar, but now out of CinemaCon, people are getting their first glimpses, more so of Top Gun. That's been out for and delayed for a while, but Avatar, The Way of Water, finally coming out 13 years after it debuted. Did you watch the first one in theaters especially?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was extremely excited. And that movie in and of itself was, more than a decade in the making. So James Cameron likes to take his time. He really puts, 110% in all effort. And he delivers. He delivers stories that are spectacular and textured and in-depth and epic. They're just epic and grandiose on giant scale. But it has been a long time since that film.
Yeah, Avatar has an interesting history because when it did come out, there was so much talk about it because the visuals were amazing. Something that, as you mentioned, James Cameron was working years on and only wanted to make this movie when the technology caught up with what his standards were.
What his vision was.
And it's good that he waited. Yeah. Exactly. This whole world and him making these breakthroughs in CGI work and all this computer generated you know, the graphics and everything. It's amazing. And so it has a weird history, as in it's known and appreciated for the imagery and the technology behind it. When it comes to the storytelling, you know, that's where people are a little more picky, because, you know, people compare it to Pocahontas, or they compare it to Dances with Wolves, as in that kind of basic formula where this outsider comes into this native land and interact with the people. He doesn't understand them, but then he learns how to respect them, eventually to love them, and then eventually fighting for them. So, weird history of appreciation. And this movie, it's been getting a lot of, I would say, negative reception from, you know, those grumpy people online, where they're saying, you know, Avatar wasn't a great movie, or wasn't as great as everyone remembers it to be. So, you know, I'm not going to see this movie and the subsequent three or four other films after this. But I was kind of in that boat. But now I've switched over, thinking, you know what, like you said, James Cameron, he's a genius, and he's been working and putting so much time and effort into this that I think the very least I can give the benefit of the doubt, you know, saying, you know, maybe the story's better, but I'm really interested in the visual aspect as well, now that, you know, they're doing more water work.
Well, look, I don't think that the story was necessarily bad. I mean, maybe this is just my opinion, but all great stories are based on tropes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. On basic story structures and ideas that, you know, are evolve and change and create great stories. But they're all pretty much based on just a few basic tropes. So you can't fault a movie for, you know, having a formula at the center of it. But the way that the story was told was epic, incredible, different, and very, very emotional. So I'm really looking forward to it. The only thing that I'm worried about, so the question being, is it ever too late for a sequel? I think yes, because you lose that momentum. You lose that excitement. So all of those people that were excited for all, you know, the breaking, cutting edge cinematic movie magic that was, you know, the first Avatar, barely remember what the story was anymore. You know, it's a whole new generation. It's a whole new audience that is going to the movies now. It reminds me of Independence Day, James. And I want to see if maybe you agree with me on this. I feel like the Independence Day sequel that came out recently, it failed for exactly that reason, because people didn't remember the original, like this new generation that's going out to watch it. The excitement wasn't there, and Will Smith wasn't in it, frankly. So why, you know, what was the point? I didn't think it was really necessary, but I don't know. What do you think? Was it because of the time gap that it didn't do so well, or was just poorly done?
You hit the nail on the head, where there's so much time had passed. You know, with every other franchise, there have been, you know, like for Star Wars, for example, like there's, you know, you can name so many characters, you can name, or like there's so many products that and things that in pop culture that you can reference it to. Independence Day, though, is somewhat of a you know, I wouldn't say cult classic, because it was very popular, but it's one of those films where, you know, you don't think about too much if you know, speaking for myself.
It's not a part of your life
And so there's a different generation that didn't catch on or see the first one and grow up with that nostalgia. And for myself, I wasn't too, you know, enticed by the trailer. So I didn't go back. I haven't seen it. So there wasn't enough nostalgia, I guess, for me to go back. And when it comes for Avatar, talking about the generational difference, that's also a big thing, because when Avatar came out, the going to the movie theaters, even though numbers were dwindling, as they've been for many years, but even then, many people still went to the movie theaters to go see the big new blockbuster film. Nowadays, new big blockbuster films are coming out straight to TV. And, you know, James Cameron, his movies, especially Avatar, is meant to be seen on a big screen. It's made for that experience. Yeah. You know, people may not share that same urgency to go back to the movie theater to see that when they could maybe wait and see it on TV when it's on one of the streaming services that, you know, that they already pay for.
Yeah.
So I could see that generational divide playing and how we view content nowadays playing a role in that. But I, again, like I said, I was not that interested a while ago. Maybe I'm changing and evolving, but I am now looking more forward to Avatar 2. However, I'm still looking forward to Top Gun Maverick more so, even though that one came out in 86. That one, I think, because just Tom Cruise, anything Tom Cruise does, he also devotes his 100%. Yeah, he's back in it. And so Tom Cruise is back.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's producing it, and he's flying those jets himself, and we're getting a lot of those glimpses in the trailer. And so things like that makes me more hyped and amped to go see that in theaters again, because I know that Tom Cruise, you know, he's he puts the gas to the pedal, you know, he pulls the throttle, pushes the throttle, whatever you do in a jet plane, and he goes all out. And so I'm really looking forward to this one more so. Though I will probably see Avatar: The Way of Water in theaters as well.
Tom Cruise is very much like his characters in the movies. I mean, he does as many of his own stunts as humanly possible. I mean, I think it was in one of the Mission Impossible movies, he did a stunt where he was jumping from one building to another and broke his leg as he made the landing and did not call cut, just kept and ran with a broken leg as far as he could until they called cut before he collapsed on the ground. Like, he's a badass. So, you know, just like I was mentioning in Independence Day, Will Smith doesn't come back. So, the allure wasn't there. Like, the original cast wasn't there.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum did return, but from what I understand, he wasn't that much of a major role in it as the first one. Plus, the whole going into space, I don't know. That one felt like a money grab. I don't know what it was, but there was a sense of money grabbing, behind the scenes. Exactly, and so maybe that's kind of what turned me off, because, you know, everything and everyone's being rebooted, and so that one felt like on the cusp of some other movies that were also being redone with some or all of the cast members. But let us know what you think. Do you think it's ever too late for a sequel to be successful? Do you plan on watching Top Gun Maverick or Avatar The Way of Water? Let us know down below. Join the conversation. Let us know what you think. And what movie would you like to see a sequel for? You know, what movie have they made that that they haven't, listened to the audience's demand? Yeah. One movie I will say, which I'm not sure if they can still do it anymore, but I would love to see a sequel for The Man from U.N.C.L.E. starring Henry Cavill and Armie Hammer. I know Armie Hammer has faced a lot of controversy and potential legal issues, so I'm not sure if that would ever be possible. But bring back Henry, bring back another spy that he could go head-to-head with. I think it would be a slam dunk.
I think, is there anything left that hasn't gotten a sequel? You know what I mean? Like,
there's
just been that, like you mentioned, like that money grab, like looking for anything and everything that they can to reboot, you know, to get that guaranteed cash flow. I don't know. So I'm not sure that there's anything that I'd want to see rebooted, because everything already has. Avatar The Last Airbender is getting another live action Netflix series, and the casting looks amazing on that. Even though the original creators kind of booked it out of there, they're no longer affiliated with this Netflix reproduction. I have high hopes for it, even though the M. Night Shyamalan version was just
I'm sure lessons were learned, mistakes were made, and hopefully they won't be made again.
The cast is culturally appropriate. So yeah, let us know. Like James said, let us know. What do you think should be made into a sequel? What do you think should not be? We'll take it from there. Keep the discussion going.
Now, what isn't a sequel or a reboot is this film called The Night House. This is a horror, thriller, mystery film that's out on HBO Max. It came out in 2021. I had just, scrolling through the archives of everything they have on the streaming service, I found The Night House. And, I haven't seen a good horror movie lately, so I figured, let's give it a shot. And I'm happy to say that this is this gets a good, strong recommendation for myself if you are into the mystery horror genre. But basically, we follow a widow named Beth, who is blindsided by the sudden suicide of her husband. And as she tries to figure out and deal with her loss and to try to move on, these strange occurrences and noises keep happening inside her lake house, where the house where her husband committed suicide. And it's during the escalation, when she starts getting visions and dreams, is when she starts trying to unravel the mystery behind her husband's sudden death, and if he's really communicating or trying to communicate with her beyond the grave.
I'm sorry, quick question for you. Is there a horror movie that's not made in a lake house, you know, in a creepy house in the woods by a lake.
Unless Adam Sandler is in the movie, that lake house is definitely haunted and not being overrun by 50-year-old men in swimming trunks. Now, what's really cool about this movie is the excellent use of sound and music, because they did this technique called using negative sound, where they invert. I'm not musically literate, but from what I understand, from what they explained, they use like reverse tones of some sort, and again called negative sound, that creates this eerie, dreadful feeling. And they also use the great use of negative space. And so I'm not sure if you saw the other the Invisible Man reboot, they came out a few years ago. They shot, because the Invisible Man, you can't see where it is, but the camera is pointed in a certain direction, like in a corner, and you could just kind of feel like, is he there? Is he not there? Kind of feeling that dread of like somebody's watching you, but you don't know if they're there for sure. This has the same kind of technique, but they also use weird optical illusions. And so the visuals of this movie are really interesting in how they, are able to, express or convey this entity, and the use of sound really does help push this movie forward. But what really carries the movie is Rebecca Hall, who plays Beth, and her performance is amazing, just because she's doing a lot of acting against no one, or acting with no one. And so she's able to feel like she's having a very intimate conversation with somebody who is in front of her, but the camera shows literally nobody. And the way she, again, the majority of the movie, she's by herself, but she never feels alone. And that's some of the creepy factor that goes into this. And so I think her performance, it makes this movie, again, acting across no one is very hard to do, but she does it in a very good job, of doing it. So if you like that horror movie, that kind of suspenseful vibe, if you like The Invisible Man that came out a few years ago and the interesting twist that they took on that, I think you'll enjoy this movie. It's on HBO Max right now. So The Night House, I recommend that. Two thumbs up.
Awesome. Yeah, I love watching actors flex those real acting muscles. Like you said, like when there's nothing in front of you and all of that. So that sounds very interesting.
Are you into the horror movies or no?
Not as much, but there have been some that are really, really great. And for me, it takes a little bit something extra than just, oh, it's scary. Like, it's got to be interesting. It's got to be, I like the psychological thrillers and things like that, or there's some interesting element to it, or some great acting. That's not just jump scares. You know what I mean?
No, this has some good.
I can't handle the jump scares, James.
I would say there are maybe one or two jump scares in this one, but again, the way that it's used, using the, you know, some certain sounds and or lack thereof, that's great. Pretty good about this film. So
that's
I recommend filmmaking.
Yeah, that's fun filmmaking. Speaking of fun filmmaking, we are talking about a documentary, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. This documentary called Whiplash, directed, edited by Cole Sheeran. He is a Massachusetts native and a Wheaton College student, and he introduced this film into the Massachusetts Independent Film Festival, and it was actually nominated for Best Documentary. And so Whiplash follows this band that spanned from the mid to late 80s into the early 90s, and it's a great time capsule because of that 80s music scene, the new wave music scene, just because there's so much video and so many photos that this band, they made while they were, you know, doing their thing. And so I spoke to Cole about the process, about his own dad being in the band as well, and what that meant for him and Bill, you know, how it shaped his life. But without further ado, here's my interview with Cole Sheeran. So just right off the bat, how old were you when you figured out or learned about your dad's previous life before you?
Well, I've honestly known as long as I can remember, because he's got a not so well-aged tattoo on the back of his shoulder of the Snidely character. And so every time we go to a pool or something, we see that and the story comes right back up.
I watched the documentary. I'm not sure exactly where you filmed everything, but I saw in a portion where your dad was being interviewed, the back walls also have some records and some posters, right?
Yeah. We tried to decorate the set with as much of the old memorabilia as possible. So, like, one of them in the background is an old shirt that you can see him wearing later on in the doc and the old videos.
And when you were putting this documentary together, just to start, what inspired you to actually focus on this, on the band, for your project?
Well, the drummer, I dedicated the whole thing to the late drummer, John Toronto. And he passed in early 2020. And my dad went up to Maine for the funeral, where he met up with a bunch of the old bandmates and the videographer, Al, who's also in the documentary. He had just hours of footage from back in the day where he just was walking around following them with a camera. And so he told my dad about it, who then told me. And I thought that would be really cool to just put something together, make something look like an old reel almost of memories. And it eventually started evolving into the idea of I could make this into an actual like project that people would enjoy.
No, one thing about this documentary, as opposed to like other music documentaries, is that it's so valuable to have all those videos and all those pictures. Like, was it hard to go through it all and to pick, you know, what to put in?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Oh, absolutely. Every single file was upwards of 8 hours. So it was a lot of scrolling through and then going back and saying, oh, did that look good? And tweaking out little moments and trying to make it feel as seamless as possible.
And of course, for besides John, because of his passing, it looked like you got everybody from the band involved on this. What was that process like? Was it easy to get everybody to talk about it?
Yeah, that was definitely a large part of the opening process of starting to make this into a real project. The members, they hadn't talked in, I think, almost 30 years between the band's breaking up and our filming of the documentary. So we had to go through individually and make sure that we could even contact them before we could ask them the interview. So, Al and Dennis were always going to be involved. They were still connected with my dad and a huge part of how this got started. But for most of the other members, it took a while to know whether or not we were going to get those interviews.
And it's funny because while watching the documentary, which is great, by the way, I thoroughly enjoyed the entire thing and it's very well put together. And it was very gripping because obviously you're seeing the birth and then I don't want to say the fall of the band, but the eventual departing of the band members. But watching your dad reminisce about the clubs, the scene, hanging out with his friends and basically his family members, what they became to feel like, you could just see the joy on his face as he's reminiscing. And so does he do that a lot out at home, or do you have to kind of pry these stories out of him?
Well, thank you, first of all, for watching and enjoying it. But definitely, he is a storyteller. Not in a bad way or anything. I love to hear him tell me about old stuff from his past, but I've always had a pretty good picture of what he was like when he was younger because all the time it's just like we have a story associated to this specific thing in the house. You want to hear about it? It's really great.
And so did his influence or his music background, did that influence yourself? Like, I'm not sure if are you musically inclined as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in a music course right now, trying to make a new project for my final project, scoring and filming abstract descriptions of sound. So that's just what I'm working on right now. But my dad has gotten me into guitar and older music and pretty much everything that I listen to now. Since around 13, I've been playing guitar, and that was absolutely because of him.
No, that's awesome. And again, just going through the documentary, it was a lot of fun. And introducing it to the Massachusetts Independent Film Festival, how did that come about? And I believe your dad told me that you were nominated for Best Documentary, right?
Yeah, it was an honor to have been nominated for anything, especially for it being my first film. Ended up turning the idea into an independent study at my school. And through that, I applied to a film festival submission fund where it was a drawing of people who would get a certain amount of money to apply to festivals. So I was able to take my first film and then apply to like four or five different festivals. And I've just been waiting to hear back from a few of them. And this was the first one that I not only got accepted to, but was nominated for a pretty major category, which was just an incredible experience.
And for the festival, do you get to have it played in front of an audience?
Yeah, so they have individual screening days where they have blocks of specific documentaries. And so there's like three different filmmakers per time block. So those filmmakers and who they want to bring, like family or friends or whoever, all come to this specific part of the festival to have it screened. And then afterwards, the award ceremony is with everyone.
For the showing, or for those who have seen it, like family and friends and the audience, what's been the general consensus from those you know?
I've definitely got a lot of really great feedback on just how well it flows and giving it a reason for other people other than just family to watch, because that was a big concern for a while, is that this seems like such a specific thing that my family and the people around it would be interested in. And so I kind of had to branch that out into more general Boston music scene, and they said that flowed really well. So it was really great. We got to screen it at a Showcase Deluxe for the first time it ever screened. We rented out a theater and had a bunch of family come, and we took pictures. It was really great. So a lot of really, really good feedback.
Oh, please tell me you got a really good grade for this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that they just did a pass fail for that because it was hard to give it like a letter grade, but I got a ton of great feedback from my professor, who's been a huge help through the whole process.
And when you're putting this documentary Whiplash together, which is on YouTube right now, when you're putting it together, were there any what was the biggest challenge with putting this together? I know you said that for each file there's like 8 hours worth of material to work with, but for you, what was like the hardest thing to do?
At a point, the project got so big that my computer stopped being able to handle it. So by the time I got to like the 45 minute mark, it's about an hour. I ended up having to cut it down to 52 minutes for festivals, but there's another cut on my YouTube too, like the original cut. It got to a point where the project was very hard to deal with in any detailed capacity. Like I would zoom in and the project would crash. So I ended up having to split the last 20 minutes up into different projects and then merge that all into one in the end. So that was a huge, huge unnecessary step that just was because my computer couldn't handle it.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's very well edited, and the story from beginning to end is done very well in a way that it keeps your attention and it flows. Again, like you said, the version I saw was a 52 minutes, but it goes by very quickly, and I want to see more. And I would imagine that this brings back so many memories for the people that were growing up around that time, and possibly seeing bands like your dad's band at the time. It must be flooding, a flood of emotions and memories.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the most enjoyable parts of it being such a specific band to a specific area of Boston is that a lot of people do remember going to see them or a specific show or a couple of songs. And it's really nice to have been able to give that to people in a way where you can just go on YouTube and watch it for a little while and just have that memory be seen in person. It's a really great feeling.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to like hearing anything regarding the other film festivals that you've submitted this into and for. Where can people find you? Where can people find the documentary and learn more about it?
The documentary is on YouTube. If you just look up Cole Sheeran with an I, not an A, and Whiplash, it should come up. And then I'm also on TikTok and Instagram, just at Cole Sheeran One.
All right, perfect. Well, Cole, again, thank you so much for your time. And again, for those watching this, I do highly recommend watching Whiplash. If you are from the Boston area, I'm sure it's a blast from the past, and it's one that you'll definitely enjoy. But Cole, again, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, James. So how much do you love the name Snidely Whiplash for a band?
It's really good. Yeah, as Cole
Isn't
said,
it?
As Cole said, his dad has a tattoo of Snidely Whiplash on his shoulder that he may or may not regret. But for a band name, it doesn't get any better than that.
I loved growing up watching Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah.
And Boris and Natasha and Moose and Squirrel and all of them and Dudley Do-Right and all them. So that's just so fun.
No, a lot of fun.
Kudos on the band name, Bill.
There we go.
So great, great, great interview again, James. And if you want more stuff like this, join us, Hub on Hollywood. Find us everywhere that you are. Listen on all of the major podcast streaming services. We're on YouTube, we're on Instagram, Facebook, what's the other one?
TikTok.
And Twitter. So join the conversation. Are you a local actor, you know, who's got something to show off? Reach out to us, and we want to talk to you and get you on the Hub on Hollywood, and learn more and get all of this exposure for our incredible acting, you know, scene here in New England.
Yeah.
So many projects, so much great talent. It's an exciting place to be, James. That's why we're here.
Let's just kick it off with the latest round of casting calls locally, and we'll start with Boston Casting. So Boston Casting, they're looking for Hispanic infants for a photo shoot. So if you got a cute little Hispanic baby, this role is for you. They're looking for newborns to one year old. Yeah. This shoots on May 4th in Foxborough, and it is a paid opportunity. So if you have a Hispanic baby, you can submit your name, their name, or the guardian's name, along with cell phone, email, photo of the baby, date of birth, and where you're currently living. Send all of that to Boston Casting Submit 5, the number 5, Boston Casting Submit 5 at gmail.com. And in the subject line, you're going to want to put Hispanic infants / your name. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. My Hispanic babies are a little too old for this one, but that's great. So I've got Slate Casting is looking for real families and couples for an upcoming commercial project. You know, pass this along to anyone who you think might fit the bill. They're looking for a real family of four with a dog, any kind of dog, and real couples age 55 plus. This pays very well if you are cast. So the shoot will be taking place in Maine on May 26th. So you have to be available to go there. And on that date, no acting experience necessary, just a natural family, natural couple. If that sounds like you or someone you know, you're going to want to email slaterealcasting@gmail.com with the names of everyone, the ages of everyone, a few current pictures, including the dog. You got to show them the dog.
Got to.
Tell them the city and town that you live in and the best contact information for you for that one.
All right, CP Casting, they're looking for experienced security guards, 18 to 38 years old for a paid role. This is for a movie filming multiple days in May and in June here in Massachusetts. So if you have any security guard experience, you should send your name, phone number, where you live, recent photos of yourself in your attire, and what security experience you have. Email all of that for tiredtowncasting@gmail.com. And if I'm not mistaken, that's the new Zendaya film, right?
That is. Yes,
all right.
That is.
So you'd be a security guard. You'd be guarding Zendaya in the movie,
right.
Possibly.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Keep her safe.
Tiredtown Casting.
That's right. So excited about that one. I'm crossing my fingers. I really want to get in that one. Okay, so Gilded Age Season 2 on HBO is filming in Rhode Island. They are, this is through Grant Wolfley Casting, and they are looking for stand-ins. It's a really great gig to be a stand-in, if you can do it, because you get to work on set every day that actor is on set. You are on set, because a stand-in comes in before the actor, stands there for the camera, helps them do all the blocking. It's a really cool gig. You get to hang out with the actors. So they are looking for stand-ins able to portray Caucasian men 5'8 to 5'10 bald. They're looking for Caucasian men dark brown hair 5'8 to 5'10 also. So brown hair, not bald. They're looking for Caucasian men, dark brown hair, who are over 6 feet tall, in their 20s to 40s. And they are looking for Caucasian women who are blonde, 5'2 to 5'4. And that is for the Gilded Age Season 2 that is filming in Rhode Island. If that is you, your height, your hair color, and you want to submit for this project, you're going to want to send a message to gildedage@gwcnyc.com, include SAG posting Newport stand-in in your subject line, and respond with your name, your phone number, your SAG number, current photo sizes, and send that all to Grant Wilfley Casting at that email. Again, it's gildedage@gwcnyc.com.
All right, perfect. Not a bad list of casting calls. So if you meet any of those requirements, descriptions, go ahead and apply, send your application. If you know anybody who meets that description or requirements, send them our link. You know, get them cast on the new film, on a new project here happening in Massachusetts and in around New England. All right, Jamie.
That's right.
I'm curious. I think you've been through a recent binge of different shows, right? I don't know where you find the time. I don't know, but
I don't know either. I don't know either.
So what are we watching?
Just bits here and there. You know what? I get like 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, and I'm, you know, just determined. But anyways, if you are a fan of Breaking Bad, all the shows are out that you would love. So first of all, Better Call Saul. The latest season is out, and I believe it's the final season.
They are on a
collision course with the original Breaking Bad series.
All right.
And it's getting really good. It's getting really good. So it's, you know, everything that you loved about Breaking Bad. It's following Saul Goodman and his evolution as a character, and everyone else that was involved in the cartels, and you know, all the drug operations there. So really hoping that we see Jesse and Mr. White.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see a 40-year-old Jesse Pinkman portray an 18-year-old Jesse Pinkman.
you know, they have the technology. They can
they
do it.
They could do that for anybody now, yeah.
But it's really fun and engaging, and I'm really enjoying Better Call Saul. Like I said, it's everything that you love about Breaking Bad, but with even more humor, because it's all about Saul. Ozark, I believe final season also, just started coming out. And I love that everything that this couple has done, everything is catching up with Marty and his wife and the operation, you know, that they've got going out in the Ozarks. So, it's Breaking Bad without the levity, with all of the darkness and depressiveness that just never lets up. My husband likes it. I can't watch too much of it, because it's just, it like weighs down my soul.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, like,
I'm in the opposite boat. I'm in the opposite boat right now. I'm watching the complete opposite. My fiance and I have gotten into the latest season of Selling Sunset. Do you know that show?
No.
Hollywood Hills reality TV show of realtors who have this ridiculous amount of drama that nobody else has. It's gaudy. It's like narcissistic. It's hilarious and tragic at the same time. It's hot garbage, yeah. But it's some of the best reality show out there right now on Netflix, Selling Sunset. So I'm going in the complete opposite direction of grim garbage. And brutal. I'm going into ditzy, turn my brain off, and yeah. Watch the train wreck.
You gotta have some of that. Look, I'm okay with the dark stuff as long as you have a break, as long as you have some levity, as long as you have
some
light,
time to exhale,
some let up. I don't even know. I can't stand the ditzy hot garbage either. Like, I don't know. I need
this
something
one's different.
In the middle.
This one hits different. Like, I can vouch for it.
And speaking of Zendaya, James, I'm just catching up on season 2 of Euphoria, and honestly, the only thing that I can say about it is holy cheese balls! Like, what? Like, it's so intense.
High school. Who'd have thunk it?
In this amazing glam—I don't want to say glamorous, but
glam.
This incredible way, like the glam shots. There's like a lot of glam shots in this, and you get pulled in, and it's like these it's pulsating, it's vibrating. I don't know. It's like you feel the heartbeat of the show, and everything is like through Zendaya's eyes. She's like this perfect character in the middle of all of this chaos to kind of like transport the audience through, and I love that too. And I love the cinematography, and just the honesty of all of these characters. And it is so easy for it to be like too much and trashy and fake, but they they maintain the authenticity of all of these characters in like such a good way. So I'm just Euphoria season 2, if you haven't started, you know, go back to season 1 if you want to. I don't know. Just enjoy it. Like, Zendaya is incredible. All of the characters in this are incredible. Love it.
All right. Go Zendaya. So, yeah, let us know. Are you watching Euphoria? Are you entranced, just as entranced as Jamie is? Also, do you check out Better Call Saul? And answer the question, is it ever too late for a sequel? Let us know down below, as well as your thoughts on the Night House and the documentary on Whiplash. Are you from the Boston area? Do you remember Snidely Whiplash? Do you remember rocking in those really cramped, hot, sticky clubs back in the day? Comment down below. And let us know what we should be watching next and what we should be talking about. But for the Hub on Hollywood, thank you so much for watching us. Catch us next week. I'm James.
I'm Jamie. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.